This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut, your weekly connection to turfgrass information, brought to you by the Cornell University Turfgrass Program in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. My name is Frank Rossi. I'm the Associate Professor of Turfgrass Science in the Department of Horticulture here at the New York State College of Agricultural and Life Sciences at Cornell University. And the following are observations and recommendations for the week of May 25, 2009. Well, exceptional dry weather should allow for a change in the growing patterns. As we approach the summer equinox, the long days of solar radiation drives up evapotranspiration. This will be a welcome relief for some southern areas and likely put the brakes on many disease problems. At the same time, I'd expect crabgrass to begin to surge as warm weather encourages growth and stresses cool season turf. Expect desirable lawn height turf, especially ryegrasses and bluegrasses, to begin to flower more intensely as dry weather continues. Pat Vittem joins us this week for an excellent update on annual bluegrass weevil management with new insecticide chemistry and pyrethroid resistance. Our sustainable lawn tip this week focuses on ideal fertilization timing at reduced fertilizer rates. Well, let's look at the weather. Well, last week it was a cool week, about 3 degrees below normal in most areas. And from a degree day standpoint, first of all, with dandelion control, almost all areas in the Northeast except the most northern areas and high elevations are at or past ideal time for dandelion control with a single application of 2,4-D based on our model developed at Purdue University. Now, the heat this year so far, areas around the lakes and along the coast remain 10 days behind normal. Most areas are ahead of last year by 3 to 5 days. The disease risk is that we expect spotted dollar spot, brown patch, and foliar anthracnose risk along the coast, south, and central New Jersey and Pennsylvania. Precipitation areas east of Rochester got 1 to 2 inches, some pockets of 2 to 3 inches. Areas west of Rochester, less than a half an inch. In western New York, as of the week of May 25, 2009, was 50% of normal precipitation for the season. ET was about an inch across the region with the high solar radiation, as I discussed earlier, and soil temps of 2 inches are about in the upper 60s for most areas. This week, our D. Gaetano, our Northeast Climate Center director and forecast guru, calls for a long stretch of dry weather with a few cold fronts moving through but limited rainfall. Evapotranspiration expected to be very high with almost a quarter of an inch lost per day. Temps are around normal in the mid-70s for highs and lows in the 50s to 60 range. Long-term models are calling for a cool and dry weather period in the next 14-day time span. Our Cornell Cooperative Extension update starts with Sharon Weber in western New York, where she's talking about dry weather is causing severe browning of lawns and athletic fields. Some crane fly adults are reported and thought to be feeding on vegetables and other ground cover. The Finger Lakes area from Walt Nelson says crane flies also are reported and some white grubs lingering from last season. Growing interest in crabgrass management, and many still want to oversee damaged or weak lawn areas. Amy Selleck gives an update from the Adirondack area where she's talking about genuine concern about finding low phosphorus fertilizer, and it appears many want to continue to fertilize and are able to distinguish between reducing their phosphorus load yet continuing to use nitrogen to maintain turf density and thereby reducing the potential for runoff. Capital District and David Chinnery reports many lawn grasses beginning to flower and a newly sodded area has Poa trivialis or rough stock bluegrass. Control of this particular weed will be difficult, and it's likely related to some form of seed contamination. Our update comes from our Westchester guys, Rick Harper and Jerry Giordano, where they're reporting some cool weather diseases have persisted on local golf courses with widespread reports of yellow patch and pink snow mold. Tom Kowalsik on the east end of Long Island mentions that red thread has been a problem on a fine fescue and perennial ryegrass lawn. Randy Prostak, our UMass weed specialist, reports that many cool season grasses are in flower, including some grassy weeds such as meadow foxtail and sweet vernal grass. And it's time to stop considering to apply pre-emergence herbicide and move to a post-emergent herbicide strategy. But keep in mind that with crabgrasses very small in the two-leaf stage, well down in the canopy, you're going to want to apply products such as a claim at a higher spray volume, as much as 40 to 60 to 80 gallons per acre or about 2 gallons per thousand. That will allow for to wash the material in to the canopy more effectively. A sports turf update this week from Joanne Gridadoria, Executive Director of the Sports Turf Managers Association in New York, talks about dry field conditions. And even though it may seem early for dry soil conditions to occur, they've been found in several areas of the state, that is especially western New York, that's got only half of its normal precip. The limited rainfall and high solar radiation increases the moisture loss due to high ET, and the brief, spotty, and intense downpours over the weekend did little to replenish the moisture deficit. This is a good time to walk your fields and determine the condition of the turf and the severity of the situation. Note, if your turf exhibits a bluish-gray color or curled leaves, you might want to consider some irrigation. Use a soil probe to check the depth of moisture in your soil. Use your experience and observations to assess the situation and determine the appropriate management practice. Dry soil conditions are less of an issue when you are able to irrigate. If you can irrigate, be sure to water at least to a 4 to 5 inch depth in the soil, just below where the majority of the root system is found, to allow for some capillary rise. Keep in mind that the amount of water supply at any one time will depend on the amount of water already in the soil, soil's water holding capacity, and infiltration rate. Take care not to apply more water than the soil can absorb. This will likely result in some runoff. Also, your upcoming field use schedule, both games and events, and predicted weather will all factor into how much water you use and when. Under really dry conditions, when wilting is observed, you cannot irrigate. It's important to minimize traffic and wear. Well, we had a very lively discussion with Pat Vittem, our extension entomologist from the University of Massachusetts, specifically speaking about the annual bluegrass weevil. Pat began by discussing with us pyrethroid resistance. Many of the worst cases of resistance that have been showing up are where golf turf managers are applying pyrethroid chemistry. This is Delta Guard, Scimitar, products like that, bifenthrin, at least 4 to 6 times per year to annual bluegrass weevils that are producing 3 to 4 generations per year, and this is a situation ripe for insect resistance to develop. And it's recommended that if you suspect resistance, obtain the kits developed by Professor Rich Cowles at the University of Connecticut, and Rich can be reached at his email at richard.cowles, that's spelled C-O-W-L-E-S, at po.state.ct.us. And you can get one of these kits at low cost, at no cost. It involves adding some water to the filter paper, pre-treated with a pyrethroid insecticide, putting in a certain number of adult annual bluegrass weevils, and recording the mortality. Alternative to pyrethroids includes Dilox, Provant, and Conserve at high label rates. Products such as 7 have not been found to be consistent, especially on adult control. Now, many in New York State have been interested in Provant, and Pat talks to us about how this is recommended that larvicides such as Provant and Durspan and Dilox be applied between the 3rd and 4th instar phase of the annual bluegrass weevil. This normally occurs, this is the phase just prior to significant damage, which usually occurs between the 4th and 5th instar phase. Pat's recommending at the time of 2nd instar, which for many in the New York metropolitan area is now. Remember to spin the heads after making the application to ensure the product makes it to the crown area, as it is not systemically translocated material and must come in contact with the larvae. So Pat's suggesting now is the time to make that Provant application, and a slight watering in to get it into the canopy is recommended. Our sustainable turfgrass management tip of the week is focused on nitrogen fertilizer. It's rarely a good idea to fertilize most turf areas at 1 pound of actual nitrogen in a single application, except under the most high-use types of conditions. Especially using water-soluble sources, this can lead to increased clipping production and, of course, increased mowing, which is one of the things that moves us the furthest away from being a sustainable crop. Actively growing areas will sequester more carbon and help contribute to improving the climate if they are actively growing. So, of course, proper fertilization is ideal for actively growing turf. However, there are carbon costs to nitrogen fertilizer production and to increase mowing. If you feel like you have active growth and the dry weather has held off the end of the spring surge, consider using liquid iron applications for color without getting the growth. Also, if it appears the turf is slightly declining, it might be moisture. But if not, consider a half or one-third a pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet rate, and observe the response. You might find it easier to cut your nitrogen fertilization rate by considering the impact it has on mowing, and also that you could use iron for color. Now, a program announcement. Our Cornell Summer Field Tour registration is now open, and it's time to register for the Turf Team Summer Field Tour being held across New York State. Spend a few hours at a location convenient for you and at an affordable price, walking and talking with the Cornell team of Frank Rossi, Jennifer Grant, Marty Petrovic, and Dan Peck. On June 24th, we'll be at the University of Rochester discussing Sports Turf and Grounds Tour, and that is available for $25 for the day. On July 15th, the Cornell Turfgrass team will be at the Turfgrass Research Center in Ithaca for a half day of discussion about the research. And on August 12th, we'll be down at the Bethpage State Park in the tour of the Reduced Chemical Management Project underway on the Cornell, on the Bethpage State Park Green Course. You can visit our website for the registration information at www.hort.cornell.edu/turf. Thank you for joining me for this installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, brought to you by the Cornell University Turfgrass Program in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. I hope you have a wonderful week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.